Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Back at it again in the Believe Aztecs Basketball Podcast. I'm Matt Scraby. That's Randy Holcomb. And Believe, the podcast network, has a podcast for every one of your teams and the only place with a show for your favorite team. We believe in our teams, and we also have something very exciting, Randy, to talk about here in the first few seconds of the show. We have our first sponsor on the podcast, so thank you so much to everybody who's been listening. It got us noticed. They gave us a sponsor. And that sponsor is BetOnline.ag. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. And the only place you should be betting on these sports is BetOnline.ag. Now, I have been doing a segment on our show on 97.3 The Fan that recaps all the best bets of the day. So I'm getting really, really into this. Prop bets are where it's at, I think. If you could find a good prop bet out there, you can make some money on it. You just got to keep searching. That's my whole thing. Don't go to the big bets. Don't go to like the Lakers versus the Bulls and then try to pick the spread. Go find like, will LeBron James have three steals today? And if you think if the odds are right, you could win that. So anyway, that's my whole thing on the prop bets. I love prop bets. Gives you something to watch for. Gives you something to cheer for. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV. They have hundreds of props with real-time odds on almost anything you can imagine. And of course, the 24-hour online casino. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, that's exciting, Randy.
That's huge, man. We want to thank them again for believing in us. And that means that we're getting people listening too, huh?
Oh, yes, we are. And I appreciate everybody out there who's been reaching out to me personally and telling me what they want to hear on the show. And one of the things that they said is they're like, all right, you know, the Aztecs, we know they're going to beat up on San Jose State. I don't want to hear you guys break down a series against San Jose State. Now, at this point in the season, I want to hear what you guys have to say about bracketology and whether or not they're going to make it into the tournament. So we're going to hit on that later in the show. But we do have to talk about the Aztecs. As of 10 minutes ago, are now back in the top 25, coming in at 25. And this might be the most important part of the year for the Aztecs to be in the top 25 when people are deciding on who's going to play in the tournament. So good stuff for the Aztecs this week.
Well, yeah, I think that we're definitely moving in the right direction. I think we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago where we were saying that all they have to do is just kind of keep winning, right? Mm-hmm. Winning solves a multitude of problems. So moving into the top 25 is definitely a plus. Now, what can't happen is that puts us in a bind again. So these next few games are critically important to win it. I think who do we have next? Fresno State?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Fresno State, there's only four games left. There could be more if they play the games, I believe, against UNLV that were postponed. But it's Fresno State, Boise State.
Okay, so, yeah, just making sure that we win, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to have any lapses or laydowns, right, or brain freezes that one like I just experienced a second ago, right? So, you know, we don't want to have one of those type of situations come up.
No, and you're saying you had a brain freeze, but out the window there, you're out in Texas, and you guys got some crazy snow here. You were telling me it was like 2 to 3 inches, which will definitely give brain freeze, but I don't know that Texas is ready for that.
No, I don't know that they are either, seeing that we had a 100 car pileup.
What?
Yes. So wow. it got a little crazy out here. There was some lives lost and the rest of it. So, you know, it just puts things in perspective as to what's important.
Yeah.
And again, man, the ability for these guys to be able to play basketball is really, really a blessing. I don't know if they realize it or not, but it's a real blessing to be able to go out and compete when a lot of the country and a lot of the world are, you know, right, especially right now, are experiencing these shutdowns.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the Aztecs players, I can't speak for all the players around the country, but I think Brian Dutcher has them in the right mindset. These guys are all great guys. They all have the same type of thought process, which is we're lucky to be playing basketball. And I hear them say it all the time. Matt Mitchell has said it now that he's kind of been beat up in the middle of the season. He did that hyperextended knee, and now he has somewhat of an ankle injury. I don't think it's too serious because they sat him out against San Jose State. They didn't really need him anyway, so why not get him rested up for the stretch run of the season? But I do believe that they really are appreciative of what they're able to do this year, because look what happened last year. That was like the most heartbreaking scenario for a team ever. They were 30-1 or 2 or whatever it was, and they were going to be a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, and it was canceled due to COVID. And I think that alone has a lot of these guys thinking about how lucky they are to play basketball right now, which can be dangerous, because if you're just lucky to play and you're just out there having fun, that's almost better than a team that's too tight, in my opinion.
Right. I think that, going back to your original statement, I think that Dutch is doing a good job, or a great job, of preparing those guys. I think they're having I think the other thing that's helping them too is that they're improving as the season goes, which is not unusual for one of Dutch's teams to do. As the season progresses, his groups usually get better. They might start off rocky, and this group didn't even start off rocky. They just had they played against some teams that were pretty good and lost. So with that being said, I think he's doing a great job of that. But the other thing I think that makes it really easy to play us to be in San Diego, right?
True.
San Diego makes life a lot easier, better, what have you.
Yeah.
And I think that the guys are, their bodies, I think, feel a little bit better, with the exception of a couple, right? Their bodies feel better. You don't have to worry about the frost or whatever the case may be. So I'm extremely happy to see them grow the way that they're growing. Offensively, I can't say it enough. I've never seen a group go from not being able to score to scoring 80 points a game, right?
It's like, crazy.
You know, what did Dutch say to them to get them to do that? I never thought that would happen.
They've scored. It's been incredible over their last 6 games. They won by 30 or more, or like 25 or more was the stat for the first time ever, I think, a team that won 6 games in a row by 25 or more points. But they're just insane. Like after they lost to Utah State that one day, it was 64-59. They scored 98, 91, 87, 98, 85, and 77, which, like you said, just doesn't happen. And maybe you have a little bit of insight. How do they just turn it on like that? Is it time to just turn it over to the shooters and to the scorers?
Man, listen, I don't know how that happens. I wish I knew. I just know that, something was said. And I think that or the talent was already there, right? And maybe the focus was the defensive side of the basketball as opposed to the offensive side of the basketball, because they're shooting lights out. And when they shoot the ball well, it opens up the driving lanes. And when the driving lanes get open, that opens the defense up to fouls. So now you keep the defense off balance. So if you're making the three and you're getting easy twos and you're getting to the free throw line, the combination three makes it easy to score 90 points a night or 80 points a night.
And I got to give credit to Jordan Shackle. I know the other guys on the team are doing this, but I specifically saw a video of Jordan Shackle out on the floor about 2 to 3 hours before the game, shooting shot after shot after shot, situations. And so he's still putting in the work, and the rest of the team is putting in the work. So I got to shout him out for that, because, you know, people don't see what happens when the bright lights aren't on and the camera isn't recording you. They just kind of see what you do on the court. But he's always been a guy that I've seen personally come out before the rest of the group and start shooting. And it just shows you his work ethic, and it shows you his leadership. Because if he's doing that, and then the other young guys on the team are like, maybe I should be doing that too.
What you're speaking on now is the most critical part to any program: culture, right? Mm-hmm. The culture has to be right. the culture at San Diego State has been the same for the last 20 some odd years, right? With with Dutch as the assistant, now Dutch as the head coach. And to have older guys show the young guys the way, there's a passing of the torch that happens when guys leave, right? There are a lot of young guys with a lot of talent on the Aztecs team.
Oh yeah.
I don't even, the kid Johnson.
Yeah.
Where did he come from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, there's, you never know. And you don't know, again, I would believe that they're watching Jordan and Matt to see, you know, taking their cues from them to see what does it take to be a good college player. You got to get in there and work, right?
Yeah.
And then if you have aspirations on playing at a higher level, and then you better be working that much harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a I think that Matt and Jordan got a lot from Malachi the previous year, and I think that those two guys are passing that torch on to the younger guys in the program.
Let me ask you, I've never really thought about it this way, but when you're being recruited as someone coming out of high school, is leadership something it definitely is a personal thing, like from person to person, recruit to recruit, but is leadership on the team already something that is important to some recruits, or is it important to all recruits? Because I would think if it were me and I was coming into a big program, I would look for a team that had some guys who are a little bit older who could help show me the way. But I also think a little bit differently. A lot of people don't like to do that, but I like to get in there, pick their brain, and then grow from that.
I think every year there's this thing that I talk about a lot. It's called primal intelligence, right? And I think that the
so fancy.
Yeah. So, you know, thank you so much. So, you know, as I pop my
yeah, collar. You put your collar.
There's a primal intelligence that's happening in sport, right? And when a high school kid that's being recruited by a Division I school leaves, he's the best player on his team.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of him that believes that when he steps on that college campus, that he's going to be best player on that college team. That's not the reality, right? So there's a pecking order that happens, right? So like a pack of wolves or a pack of hyenas or whatever the case may be, right? But that starts with, you know, the play, right? The play, whether that's through pickup or whether that's through, you know, the games themselves. Mm-hmm. It just kind of depends.
Yeah.
And all that to say that the thing that happens is that the older guys end up showing the younger guys that you're not that good. The younger guys that are smart.
Yeah.
Look and say, oh my God, I ain't that good, but I need to get good. How do I get good? And you get good by watching others.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a ton of sense because I can totally imagine myself being like, oh, I'm coming in here. I'm going to be great. I'm going to be so good. They're just going to be like blown away by me. And then in the first 5 minutes of practice, I realize real quick that these guys are much better than me. They're much bigger than me. They're much faster than me. That's got to be interesting. And I know you went through it. I mean, going from high school to college, I never went through it. But what's that realization like? What's that realization like? Like, oh man, is it one of doubt? Is it one of, okay, I'm excited? Or is it one of like, I don't know what I'm doing here?
I think that there's a couple things that happen. I think the first thing is that you're excited to be there, but after a week of practice, you just don't even realize the intensity that you have to go with. So you're kind of in autopilot. You know, you're not getting better. You're just kind of holding on to the proverbial tree with your legs wrapped and your arms and legs wrapped around the tree. You know what I'm saying?
Trying to slide down. Yeah. Yeah.
It sort of feels like that when you're in one of those settings. I don't know if I was necessarily afraid of anyone, but I think that there was, I wasn't good. I tell you that my freshman year, I was awful. But as I grew and got better and you learn, you know, because they had to learn from somebody. There's a true pecking order that happens. Then you have to, the good players have to allow that to happen, right? You have to allow that. Sometimes you walk in and the show is yours, but mm-hmm. that's a one out of every 100, right? Kids that, and most of those kids today are playing in the G League this year for the Ignite.
True. So, yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's not a whole lot of kids out there that can walk in it. I mean, you look at, not to get too far off topic, but look at Kentucky and their struggles, right?
Yeah, they've had major struggles.
Major struggles, right? Because their kids are so young. They're depending on freshmen to go out and beat seniors. And it's not happening. And yeah. I don't care how you put it together. You have to grow.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like in radio too. Like before I got into radio, I was a huge radio fan. So I always thought, oh, I could do that. That's no big deal. I'm good at talking. I could go in there and just sit down and blah, 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 blah. So I actually get an internship with a radio station. And the first day, the first 10 minutes, I'm like, I can't handle this. I don't know that I can do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. It was like, it was so overwhelming. And so I guess that's a different way for me to think about what it's like for a guy to come into a big time college basketball program, because that overwhelmingness gave me the feeling of, oh man, what am I doing here? What am right. I doing here?
Right.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out. I just want to quit right now. Oh God, let me just go cry in the corner. And that's what
right, right, right. I mean, there's from a, and I totally get where you're coming from a basketball perspective, you have to get used to the uniform or the practice jerseys, and you got to get used to the coldness of the arena or the coldness of the building. Mm. Sometimes you walk in these places and they're ice cold. You gotta
be
prepared to go. There's personalities in that locker room, and they go, it's so understated. But and it doesn't seem like that is the issue with this particular group of kids. It seems like everybody's pretty cool. Like everybody's just kind of, but sometimes you can get personalities like Randy Holcomb in the locker room, you know what I mean? That are live, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
lit all of the time, ready to go. Like, no matter, you know what I mean? Like, we're doing this, man. We're doing this, you know. So there's a lot of things to contend with as a freshman that a lot of kids just don't really understand until they become freshmen, and that's probably why they call them freshmen.
Yeah, because they're fresh.
Because they're fresh, right?
Yeah, that's really funny that you say that. I can imagine that walking into a locker room, being a highly touted player or whatever, walking into a locker room and then getting yelled at by my teammates already, and I'm like, been in there for 5 minutes, you know, kind of thing. Oh. It's like, oh God, all right, I need to step on my game as soon as possible. We'll move on to New Mexico. They are having trouble with just playing their games, really. They canceled their two games against San Diego State. We talked about that in a couple episodes ago. And then they were in Colorado to play Colorado State. And apparently one of the assistant coaches came in contact with someone who tested positive, but the assistant coach didn't test positive. So the state of Colorado canceled the games for New Mexico. And New Mexico is just ruining a lot of different opportunities for teams. And some people are saying on Twitter that they just need to get rid of Mexico for this year. Just shut it down. If you can't stay on the court, it's too dire of circumstances for the rest of these teams for them to either travel or wait for you to travel, warm up. There's just too many things that can happen with a team that's not going to be able to play.
I think that they need to shut it down too. They're not competitive this year. And if you're not competitive, you know, we're too far in the year for them to do anything, right? It would take an act of God for them to compete. I think they should shut it down, especially if they've gone this long without, you know, it just seems like they just can't get on the wood. And if you can't get on the wood, there are too many resources that are being wasted. The flight over, bringing all 25 people that are in their caravan over. Colorado State having to set their whole deal up to make sure and all the protocols that they go through.
Get the people in the building that have to make it run. Get the people that run the scoreboard, the trainers, everybody.
Everybody, right? The resources are just too, you know, putting those resources in for not just doesn't make a whole. And the reality is in college sports, there aren't that many teams that are really operating in the black, if we're truly being honest, right?
Yeah,
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that New Mexico is not one of the schools that's operating in that space of making money from their sports, right?
And they're not even allowed in their own home state, New Mexico. Exactly. They can't even do that. They have to play in Lubbock, Texas, which is also very expensive. I don't know if they have any deals with the Texas Tech University or whatever, but like that's expensive, putting up a bunch of kids into housing for an entire season, having together, schoolwork, translate. I don't know. There's just, it just sounds like a big old mess.
Yes. I mean, is it, at some point you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? Now, the coach, you still got, you still would have to pay the coach. You still, you know, there's still people that you have to pay. Right.
And I, which I understand he's trying to do his job, but he can't keep his team on the floor.
Right. And if you can't keep a team on the floor and the fact that you're not very good, if they were balling, then okay.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. It'd be but different.
They stink. You know what I mean? Like, you know, very, you know, plain and simple, they're not very good.
Yeah.
So with that being the case, you know, let's just save everybody the headache. Cause I'm not sure, even if you played, I'm not even sure that I would watch, you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
you know, I have a love hate relationship with, New Mexico. They heckled me during the game, and after the game, I had a media session to do, and okay. There were like four or five guys that were still heckling me while I was there. There was nobody in the arena. There was nobody in the pit. It was just me and the interviewer, and the guys are, "Hey, Randy Holcomb, you suck!" And I was like, "Dude, I just scored 20 and 12 against y'all. We beat y'all in the pit." But you know, again, that, so I'm not letting up on New Mexico. You found an enemy in me. That's for sure.
Okay, but, I like it. I like it.
But it's all in fun. But it, just to say,
yeah. You
know, I think it's. I think they do need to shut it down because they're not very good. And I don't think it's worth the resources.
Definitely not worth the resources. So we'll keep an eye on that. We're going to get to the bracketology in just a second, but we have to introduce our other sponsor of the day. So again, thank you to everyone for listening, because without you, we wouldn't have this opportunity, but it is brought to you by eBay. And I don't know, I'm a big shoe guy. I don't know, Randy, if you're a big shoe guy. I know the guy I work with, Tony Gwynn Jr., is a massive shoe guy. He has hundreds of pairs of shoes. Like, he loves his shoes. And I'm going to tell him about this, because I've heard about eBay being a place where you could go and buy a shoe that you can't find, or if you can't, if it's too expensive, you could go bid on it. Well, eBay is now the original sneaker marketplace, and they have something called the authenticity guarantee, where your sneakers are inspected by independent people to make sure that there's nothing wrong with them, or if they're not fake from, you know, overseas. And so they have a team doing that. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for the sneaker sellers like Tony, if he ever decides to sell one of his 3,000 shoes that he has, he can do it on eBay, and they have eliminated selling fees on sneakers over $100 and up. So making it free to sell or flip your collection. So if you're into that, if you like sneakers, go to eBay, check them out. If you have too many sneakers and your wife, your girlfriend, or even you say you need to get them out of your house, go to eBay, put them up there. eBay's got it all figured out. They have it so that you're not going to buy anything fake. And all you need to do is go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. So thank you to eBay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I need to get some new sneakers. I've been wearing the same sneakers forever, so maybe I'm going to hit up eBay later. I used to be like, when I played basketball in, you know, eighth grade, ninth, you know, freshman year, I used to be a big shoe guy. I love the shoes. And my dad had one rule: I will buy you brand new basketball shoes, but you are not allowed to wear them out of the gym until the season is over. You will bring new shoes. You will put them on when you leave the gym. And he was very serious about that. And I appreciated him for that, because, you know, every time I put my shoes on, I felt like I was connected to the floor. It was too easy. But once I started getting him out in the, you know, on this asphalt and stuff, I was terrible. But that's what my dad did for me.
No, well, I'm not as big of a shoe fan as I once was. I got this SUV fetish now.
Ooh. You know what I mean?
So I'm probably going to be on eBay Motors checking out some stuff there. But
there's some good stuff there too. SUVs are sweet.
Yeah, I'm a classic. I love, I had the Trooper and a couple others that I don't want to name drop on here. But I've had my share. In fact, I'm probably going to go pick up another one this weekend. But
oh, awesome.
Yeah, but that's my thing. I can't afford sneakers anymore. I can't afford to buy them anymore.
Well, at least you got your SUV because there's snow outside your door. So if you need to go hit up the grocery store or something, you're all good. You're all good.
Yeah, that's for sure. I got the Jeep. I got the Jeep Wrangler out there, man. I can tumble through some of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I had a Jeep Wrangler for a while too, and I love the Jeep. The Jeep is awesome. Anyway, we're going off on Jeep talk now, which is it's not Jeep talk. It's Aztecs basketball talk. So we'll get back to that. But it's always fun to learn a little bit more about both of us. I've been told there's so much underneath myself and you that people don't know, and we'll get into that over time. It'll all come out over time. Andy Katz of NCAA, he doesn't have the Aztecs in his top 36 teams that he released this morning, although they are back in the top 25. As I mentioned earlier, they're number 25. And Joe Lunardi is a guy for ESPN who does a lot of bracketology. He actually has the Aztecs currently a 9 seed taking on Loyola of Chicago in the first round. So first thought from me was, I've been thinking this entire year, it's looking like it's going to be a 13-14 seed or something like that because of the losses earlier in the year. And then all of a sudden, Joe Lunardi has them at a 9 seed, which is really good. For it, just from me looking at it, a 9 seed's really good. Loyola Chicago, we know about them. They went deep in the NCAA tournament a few years ago, but that was a whole different team, and Sister Jean and all that stuff. So
yeah, Sister Jean,
she made an appearance the other day. So she's still kicking, 101 years old. So good for Sister Jean. Yeah, good for Sister Jean. But they're a 9 seed, and that surprises me. So I wanted to get your thoughts.
I am cautiously optimistic, right? I think that if we were playing today, I think that that would be a good draw. I think we can beat that team, right? I don't think that it would be hard to beat that team, especially if we're shooting the ball the way we're shooting the ball right now. We can make a deep run.
Yeah.
The problem comes when we have to finish the season, right? I think that that's the issue of finishing the season out, because again, with those losses, it took us this long. We have good losses. If there's a such thing as a good loss, we have good losses.
Yeah.
And it's taken us a while to get back in the top 25. Those losses happened three, four weeks ago.
In the beginning of the season, yeah.
At the beginning of the season.
In 2020, I think.
Wow. So if you think about that, we can't afford to have any letdowns. But we could, if we were to meet Loyola Chicago today, my hometown. Shout out to my hometown. I don't want to go against you, but I think that the Aztecs could beat them.
I would hope so, because right now they are ranked number 22 in the country. And I think there's a couple things that we could think about. This whole thing is that the bracketology is realizing, and the tournament is realizing, that a lot of the teams that are usually good are not good. And so there's more spots coming up for other teams. Like we mentioned it earlier, Kentucky, they're not good this year. Duke, they're not good this year. North Carolina is all right, but like those teams are usually a lock for the tournament every year. So now the tournament selection committee has to think, all right, how do we make this tournament exciting without our Kentuckys and our Dukes and our North Carolina? And so that it is kind of exciting that they're going to open it up to other teams, and it is benefiting the Aztecs right now, I think.
Oh, no question. I think it's benefiting the Aztecs, but ultimately I think it's benefiting basketball as a whole. I think, you know, I mean, aren't we all tired of seeing blue every year?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like Kansas, Kentucky, you know, Duke,
Kansas, North Carolina.
It's like the usual suspects, right? I think that the better basketball players are at the other schools, and you know, the Aztecs being one of those schools. In fact, the conference is stacked with, well, I shouldn't say stacked, but the top four teams should all play in the tournament, right?
So
with that being said, I think that it's a great time for college basketball. I think there's been COVID has caused a resetting of the guard, so to speak.
Good point.
And I think that with that, though, you know, you have to keep winning. Now, there's a flip side to that. If you lose one, or if you have a bad loss, you can go from 25 to 45 within a loss. You know,
that is true. That is true, especially if you're San Diego State. We've seen it before. They lose one game, and it's like, okay, well, they proved that they suck, so we're going to kick them out.
We're going to kick them out, right? And I think that where we sit in the conference that we're in, it's a shame that they won't let us in the Pac-12, which is a whole nother show.
We can talk about that in the offseason.
Right, huh? But it's just unfortunate because again, the teams that play in those power in the Power Five, they are able to lose 5, 6, 7, 8,
sometimes 10 games. Yeah.
You know, and with that, they're always given the benefit of the doubt. I guarantee you one thing, that we're going to be shocked at one of the blue schools that make it in or their seed, record being, you know, being whatever it is, you know.
I can see that happening in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so we have to, you know, and that's always been the case for San Diego State, which is fine. You know, if we'll earn it, you know what I mean? And it has to be, we want to make sure that it's undeniable.
Yeah. The San Diego State Aztecs right now in the conference are number 4, but everybody has 3 losses in the conference now, except for Utah State. They're 11-2. Boise State's 12-3. Colorado State's 11-3. Again, that Colorado State loss earlier in the year, I went off on it. I was like, this can't happen. This is a terrible loss. Now it doesn't really look that bad because Colorado State is 14-4 overall in the year. And they're looking at a tournament spot as well. So that loss doesn't look so bad. And now when those losses come back and they look a little bit better, it's easier to stomach a 26-point lead that they dropped, you know, in right. that game. So
right. Yes. A little bit easier to digest. Right? just a tad bit easier to digest.
It's a tad bit easier. So that's what's going on with the Aztecs. That's where they stand in bracketology with Joe Lunardi of ESPN. And again, they are back in the top 25. We are coming down to the end of the year. The conference tournament is going to be starting here before we even know it. But the schedule for this week is they're going to be in Fresno, take on Fresno State on Thursday and Saturday. And Fresno State, they're a middle of the pack team. I wouldn't put it past them to beat the Aztecs because their coach, Justin Hudson, is a former Aztec assistant coach forever. So he knows exactly what San Diego State does there. And he's learned from Dutcher. So it's almost like, you know, they're coaching in the same style, which is kind of interesting to me. But that's who they're going to take on this week. And then they come back home to finish out the year with Boise State coming to Viejas Arena. So 4 more regular season games left officially on the books as of right now. And the Aztecs are 15-4. So they win out. They can go 19-4, which looks pretty darn good going into the Mountain West tournament. But that's all we got today. Appreciate everybody for listening. Once again, if you have anything you wanted to hear from us, please reach out. I'm at Matt Scraby on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and that's Randy Holcomb at Alfred's House on Twitter, Instagram, things of that nature. And that's it. That's it for today's show. The Aztecs, they are doing us proud. They're doing us proud. At the beginning of the year, I was like, oh man, what are we going to talk about the whole year? But now we're back. They're back and they're ready to go. So we'll be back with you next week on the Aztecs Basketball Podcast. Thanks to the Believe Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
So, you've got an idea for a business, the store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out, everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.